welcome to this Hungry Planet podcast. I'm Cleo Darcy.
And I'm Darren Eastburn. In each podcast, we will review a major concept or issue, we'll clarify a possible point of confusion, and we'll provide questions for review.
The major concept for this podcast is the role that people play in spreading plant diseases. To enable them to colonize new hosts, plant pathogens have had to evolve various mechanisms for moving from infected plants to healthy ones. Some of these mechanisms allow pathogens to spread a few feet to neighboring plants, while others allow pathogens to be carried hundreds of miles to infect plants in new locations. And while animals have long been important in the dissemination of some plant diseases, with the advent of agriculture, long-distance travel, and trade, humans have become a very effective means for both short- and long-distance spread of plant diseases.
Agricultural activities of humans have simplified the process of short-distance disease spread, moving from one plant to another in the field. People tend to grow the same kinds of plants close together to make planting and harvesting easier, but this also makes it easier for plant diseases to spread. People also physically carry pathogens from one plant to another on their hands and their clothing and tools, or when they are working in the field or orchards or gardens.
Many plant pathogens can be easily transported long distances in or on plants, plant parts, or plant products. Carrying pathogen-infested seeds, seed pieces, or plant cuttings is a very efficient way to move pathogens hundreds of miles. Many historically important plant disease epidemics were the result of people bringing diseased plant material to a new location.
When people began realizing that human activities were introducing plant pathogens into new areas, governmental agencies initiated programs to help slow or prevent such introductions. Instituting plant quarantines, which limit the movement of plants between areas, has been an effective way to help reduce the threat of new plant pathogens. It is even possible for pathogens to be carried on plant products, such as lumber. So quarantines not only have to restrict the movement of live plants and seeds, but also items made from plants on which pathogens might survive.
In the United States, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, is responsible for monitoring the movement of plant material into the country and for enforcing plant quarantines. You may have had to fill out a customs form asking if you were carrying any plants or food items when returning to the U.S. from another country. Or maybe you have had your luggage sniffed by a member of the APHIS Beagle Brigade when you're going through customs. These programs are in place to prevent the introduction of pathogens and insects that could be devastating for U.S. agriculture. Hopefully, the next time you go through customs, you'll have a better appreciation for the work that APHIS and custom agents do.
Even with these precautions, increases in global trade and the frequency of people traveling abroad are likely to result in more introductions of new pathogens and other pests. So we must use the time that quarantines afford us to develop other means to manage diseases that are likely to arrive.
The classification of fungi and fungus-like organisms into different groups can be a point of confusion.
Just as there are taxonomic groupings of plants and animals, ferns versus flowering plants, or sponges versus vertebrates, for example, fungi and fungus-like organisms can be divided into groups based on their characteristics. And just as a tiger and a dragonfly look and function very differently, fungi and fungus-like organisms belonging to different taxonomic groups also have different features and different modes of operation.
Phytophthora infestans, the cause of late blight of potato, and Plasmopara viticola, the cause of downy mildew of grape, belong to the group of fungus-like organisms commonly called oomycetes. The coffee rust fungus, Hemileia vastatrix, belongs to the basidiomycete group of fungi, and the South American leaf blight fungus, Microcyclus iulii, belongs to the ascomycete group of fungi.
The main feature used to distinguish oomycetes, ascomycetes, and basidiomycetes is the type of sexual spore that they produce. Sexual spores form during the sexual part of the life cycle, following the fusion of two sexually compatible mating types. Each of these groups of fungi and fungus-like organisms goes about this process of producing sexual spores in a very distinct way. Oomycetes often produce a single thick-walled oospore inside of a sac-like structure called an oogonium. Ascomycetes produce 8 thin-walled sexual spores called ascospores in a sac called an ascus. The sexual spores of basidiomycetes are also thin-walled, but usually four of these basidiospores are produced on the outside of a structure called a basidium.
The production of different sexual spore types is a convenient way for us to identify and distinguish these different groups of fungi and fungus-like organisms. However, these groups differ in other ways which may be difficult for us to see, but which have major effects on how the organisms interact with their environment and how they cause diseases in plants.
If you can answer the following questions, congratulations! You have mastered some of the new terms and some important ideas in plant pathology.
How have the activities of humans facilitated the local and long-distance spread of plant pathogens?
What practices have people used to try to prevent the spread of pathogens into new areas?
What are the three major groups of fungi and fungus-like organisms that cause diseases in plants, and how can they be distinguished from each other? We're Darcy
and Eastburn
for Hungry Planet.